Welcome, everybody, to the MGA MedioCast, episode number 36. It is September 27th, 2017. This is our first episode since September 3rd of 2015. That is right. We took 26. Look, 2016 sucked. Everyone knows that. We took it off. We decided to come back because we need to save 2017. So, MGA World Championship's coming up. It's time to bring the podcast back. Get out to you guys some of the news, things that are going on with the MGA. Joining me today, El Presidente, John Lucky Kick Morley. What's going on, buddy?
You know, just doing a media cast once
just,
a year.
Yeah, just doing our annual media cast. Yep. Well, we have a lot to talk about, but we also have a third person with us. And that is Scott Sanders of the SFMGA chapter. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Good to have you here. So we're going to talk about a bunch of news and stuff, but we're also going to get to know Scott a little bit more. A little spot MGA media spotlight. So we'll get to that in a second. But, John, you want to make some announcements right off the bat, right?
Well, yeah, I think it's worth saying that Mr. Scott Sanders was the runner-up at MGA WC 16.
That's true.
And that's the reason we have him on, because as everyone knows, hopefully by this point, MGA WC 17, right around the corner. Registration is open, and it's open until October 13th. So all you procrastinators, that's your deadline. That means October 12th at 11:30 p.m. You're going to look for a reminder in your calendar to go register. If you wanted to do it before that, that's cool with me too. Just head on over to mgawc.com.
Make it easier for me
to plan this thing. There's a deposit option. So if you don't have all the money right now, go ahead and make the deposit. We'll send around a collection crew later on.
Sweet. Yeah, basically just if you're listening to this right now and you are not registered, stop what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Pause this podcast, mgawc.com. Go get registered right now. We got some exciting things. There's some new chapters. I think there's at least five new chapters coming this year. And a lot of regulars and some people we haven't met yet. So it should be an exciting year for sure. And I was actually just in Samstown over the weekend. Doing a little inspection, making sure that everything's up to snuff for this year.
That's right, because this will be our second year at Samstown.
Yes.
And it was good last year.
It was.
But they claim they were going to redo the rooms, and that's why they're charging us more money this year. So.
Oh, I see. All right, I'll say this. My bed was incredibly comfortable.
Oh, good.
It seemed like the carpeting was new, so we'll fuck that all up. It seemed like, you know, the room was nice. It was definitely nice. It felt good. You know, the casino and everything itself, that all was pretty much the same, but that was kind of perfect for our needs.
Whoa, if you haven't been. They didn't put in a whole new casino?
No, they did not. They didn't replace the whole casino. But, I went over to the Orleans one night to hang out with some other people who were there. And to be honest, I felt like, why did I have to leave Samstown to do the exact same thing I could have done at Samstown? So they have everything you need. It is like all included in – this is the beauty of Samstown for us and for this event. You don't have to go anywhere because there's just everything you could possibly need right there. Plenty of food options, late night food options. You got the bowling alley. You got the movie theater if you need to chill out for a second. And then bars all over the place. And plenty of gambling options as well. So
many bars.
Yeah. So I'll have a short video that we'll share with you guys, just kind of giving you the updated tour if you haven't been. Hopefully get you excited to come back out. And then, of course, there's the live show on the hour, which is just spectacular. I mean, you've got a bear that stands up and then – doesn't.
I believe there's an eagle.
There's an eagle. There's some sort of a bobcat of some sort. It's amazing. So definitely come check it out. Samstown's looking great. I talked to a bunch of the bartenders.
Okay.
A whole bunch of them. And they're all very excited for us to come. So I hyped you guys up. You guys better come through. All right, let's talk about the bronze ticket.
Okay.
So
let's talk about the bronze ticket.
One bronze ticket has been discovered at this point.
That's right.
How many are there?
There are two bronze tickets. across the entire MGA.
Yes.
One was discovered in July. It was discovered in Conejo Valley by Joe Danya. Mr. Danya shot a perfect 90.
Okay.
For his first MGA win. And he opened up the envelope, and sure enough, it was a bronze ticket. And they did an amazing job eventually showering him in confetti. It took a while, but they did have the popper ready to go. Showered him in confetti. And yeah, he's going to be cruising to the WC for free. Free three-night, two-round package, airfare not included. But he's from Conejo Valley, so he could drive there, which is nice.
Sure, sure.
But yeah, big win for Joe, and happy to report that his other three finishes this year, his win was not only his only top three or his only top five, but his next best was seventh, and he hasn't broken 100 in any other tournament. So we got a true Medio.
All right. Now, I noticed, though, that Joe Donia is not currently registered with the MJWC. So hopefully that will change soon enough.
So Joe still has to follow one very important step, which is to go register and put in the coupon code that's going to give it to him for free. If he can't do that, then sorry, Joe.
Sure.
There's nothing else I can do for
him. Yeah, we've done everything we can at that point.
Joe is coming. I've heard he will be there.
All right, sweet.
But yeah, that means one bronze ticket remains. And actually, there is a major announcement about that second bronze ticket.
Really? Okay. Because we're getting, my chapter has two events remaining, but we were late to get the season started. Right. I think a lot of chapters, some are even done, I think. I've seen a few guys have 8 events already posted. So.
Yeah, our global money leader right now, I was like, who the hell is this guy and where did he come from? And I clicked on his name and saw that they'd finished their season already. So
yeah.
I don't think he's going to last.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, he will be overtaken, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But so that means there's not a lot of tournaments left to find this last ticket. So
that's right.
We'll have to. Okay. Stick around for the major announcement. Yeah. Major announcement about that coming up.
Coming up shortly after the interview.
All right. Well, let's talk to Scott. Scott, first of all, I just want to hear about what was golf like for you before you found the MGA? Like, what got you into golf in the first place?
You know, what's funny is actually when I found, or I don't know, I kind of almost say it like John kind of found me. I hadn't even played
recruited
a round of
you.
Golf. I hadn't even played a round of golf yet.
What?
I was going to Tilden to go to the driving range, and you guys were doing your last gas. Me and two other buddies, we were just like walking towards the range, and John was set up, and he kind of like was walking by us, and he's just like, "You definitely look like a Medio," and I'm like, "What?" And then he hands me the "Face That You Suck" card, and I'm like, "He's like, what is he, like fucking Yoda or something?" You know, that's that was kind of like, yeah, that was, I was just learning how to swing clubs. I actually had bought a set of Nike women's clubs off of some dude from Craigslist by accident. I didn't even know what the hell I was buying. And my buddy that day is like, "Hey, let me swing those." And he's like, "These are, and God, there's no flex. There's too much flex in these things." I'm like, "I don't know what you're talking about, dude." Sure as shit, you look right down the shaft, a big fat W.
right down the pink shaft.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It was all in green. There was no green. No green. There was no purple or pink.
So John, what I'm gathering from this story is that you did not follow the 9HDB rule that day.
You know, I was just going to own up to that.
You got lucky, though.
Well, you know, this is a lesson. Let this be a lesson for all of us that if you don't follow it, you end up with someone like Scott. And I apologize for our chapter to the world, but can't take it back now.
So you had not played a full round of golf at this point. How do you go from that to second in the world in 2016?
Oh, man.
This makes no sense to me.
It doesn't really make sense. I mean, I think I got better, like a little bit better each year, clearly. But last year I played a lot of rounds, and I did well in the season last year. Like, I think I had a couple of 86s. I won I think I finished twice, and I think I lost a playoff. I finished second, I think, twice, and I think I lost a playoff.
Wow. So I didn't, strong season.
You're most. Go ahead.
No, so I didn't. I mean, I was progressing. It felt like I was getting better each year, but I think I got lucky and hit the round of my life in like 15. It's still the best score I've ever hit was an 84, and I won the Bradish that year. And then
I was just going to say,
man, that, I just played a lot of golf.
That was your most impressive season to me because I'm looking at it right now. And yeah, you won the Bradish. It was 2014 with an 84. Uh-huh. And then your next best score and finish was a 94 for 12th place, and then a 15th place, and then your other five events were out of the top 20. So
yeah.
Well, yeah. So what I'm getting from this too, though, is that you're kind of in that perfect medio status, right? Which, you know, my best season was 2010, and it was a very similar type of thing where I just was shooting mid low 80s. Kind of consistently, right? And it just kind of was always getting me there because I didn't ever shoot better than that, so my handicaps were low, right?
Well, I would say that was probably like my, like, if you want to say like my season as far as like, but I think last year for me was much better. Like, I mean, I just shot better rounds, I played better golf, and that's what put me really in the spot to like finish where I did last year. Not to mention a lucky hole on each day, which I think everybody needed to fit, you know, to finish anywhere near the top on that course last year. That shit was brutal.
So, did you do any preparation for the WCs? Were you doing the Mike McMorrow approach where you were trying to drink less than the other guys, or did it just kind of all fall into place for two? Because it's 2 days of golf. You got to go out both days.
I don't really drink when I play golf to begin with. So that's
like when you're
that's
out on the course. Yeah.
This is why the 9HDB rule exists, guys.
We should have known this.
Yeah. Right, I didn't even have a game yet, but yeah, I don't really drink when I play golf, and I didn't really take it too serious. But after I shot, well, I think I shot 85 the first day, and then I was like, ah, man, that night, like, I think I went and had a couple beers downstairs with everybody, and then I went and had dinner with Armstrong, went and hung out with Dave, had a nice prime rib. And then I think I had like one or two beers, and McMorrow like walked me up and told me to get into bed, man.
There you go. Media's so, looking out for medias.
Those media's are looking out for medias.
World champs looking out.
Yeah.
So yeah.
He saw something in you.
World champ Armstrong.
Did he? Yeah, they were taking care of me, man. That's for sure.
Did Dave try and coach you into falling asleep in the booth at Denny's? that's the trick out here.
No, Dave and I had a nice adult prime rib dinner that night. It was pretty cool.
Oh, nice.
All right,
at Samstown.
At Samstown, man. It was the jam, dude.
Cool.
What happened this year? Because I noticed this year, zero victories.
Instead of
$4.5000, you're only at $1.07000.
Well, I really haven't been playing as many rounds, and I mean, let's be honest, man, carrying five strokes is hard.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
especially in that chapter.
Those five strokes, yeah.
I collected nine,
those five
asshole.
Strokes at the WC.
Nine.
John had nine?
You have a good golf swing, though.
Now I have five.
Oh, okay. Good work.
Yeah, no, I'm working towards the WC.
There it is.
That's but, smart.
There it is.
No. Yeah, Scott and I played the other day, actually, and we decided to play match play. And at the beginning, I was thinking, oh, I should probably give him a couple strokes. And then, you know, he went like three holes up on me. And then I decided to ask how many strokes he had, and he said five. I'm like, shit, that's what I'm at. So we've met in the middle at this point.
It was actually a really even round. I mean, John went 48-44 and I went 45-48, so he beat me by two holes in one stroke. So it was a pretty even round. It was a good time, man.
So what would you say is the strength of your game that kind of got you to, you know, going from someone who doesn't really play to being able to actually shoot in like the 80s?
Stuff around the green.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Because, I mean, let's be honest, how many of us are actually going to hit shit in regulation?
Sure.
right?
Yeah. If you could chip it
like
close.
Tips and stuff, yep.
Yeah. I think that's one really of John's strengths, too, and one of the reasons he's so frustrating to play with is you'll think, like, you got the hole on him, and then John will just chip it to, like, 1 foot, and you're like, oh, okay. Oh,
but yeah, but Benoit is even more frustrating. Dude, that guy, I don't know where he pulls out, but he does it. Is all of a sudden, like, you think you got him? Like, you think you got him behind the eight ball, and he'll chip it to 3 feet, and you're like,
fuck. Like, hole out from 35, and you're like, okay.
Yeah.
I know the feeling.
But yeah, it's a I think short game, and then if you can be decent out of the tee box, like I don't even think you have to be great.
Sure.
But Revere was punishing, man. Like there was no go hit it out of the desert at the new
right. Yeah,
that was, course.
That was a thing.
There's Boulder, no getting it out.
Boulder Creek, you could play from the waste areas, but
yeah.
Revere, it's pretty much gone. You hit it down in there, the rocks are too big, or the bushes are too sharp. But here's some good news, some breaking news, if you will. They had us on the wrong tees last year. So,
Yeah.
So for all of you, including the one guy who told me he was going to write me a letter, unfortunately never showed up, because I would have obviously shared that with everyone. But
it did seem challenging.
The tees on the Lexington side will be shorter this year.
Okay.
Like, most notably,
and that was the harder course too.
Yeah.
Right?
Everybody knows the hole I'm talking about. The blind
number 10.
The blind one leaving the clubhouse. Yeah, number 10. You may be able to see the fairway from the tee boxes we'll play this year. Maybe.
Good. Okay.
If not, I promise to put an aiming aid on that hole.
Sweet.
I vow. Yeah.
We'll just get Tessa to just stand out on the fairway.
Exactly.
You know, yeah. Nobody's gonna hit her if she stands right in the middle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right? She'll be fine.
Yeah, she'll be fine.
Well, dude. So, golf aside, what has What's the up? MGA meant to your life? As far as just like people you've met and all that kind of stuff? Because I feel like it changes more than people's golf experiences, right?
Oh man. That's a good question, but I gotta tell you, man, for me it's a pretty heavy one, to be honest. Like no bullshit, like probably right when I met John, like I was starting to go through some pretty pretty heavy shit, man. I had a divorce coming up, man, and my pops passed in early 14.
Damn.
And you know, like, I think that first season that I played, the only person I knew in the MGA was Casey Watson.
Oh, like previously knew?
Yeah, he was the only person. Like when John gave me the card, I looked into it and it was like, dude, what is this? This is hilarious, but I don't know what the fuck it is. And then I looked around and I was like, holy shit, Casey plays. So I hit him up and I played my first tourney with him. And so that was cool, just to like have somebody that I knew, you know, kind of show me the ropes a little bit. And I had only played like a handful of rounds of golf by the time I got there. And then I think maybe a little over halfway through the season, we realized that myself and Todd had a shitload of like mutual friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so John, you know, put us in a foursome together, and we like hit it off, and we started hanging out with Slaughter, and before you know it, just kind of snowballed, and I started hanging out, you know, with all those guys a ton. And so for me, man, like no bullshit, the MGA it's been pretty big for me, man. Like, you know, I had not even gonna get heavy, but like I had some rebuilding to do socially, and it's been amazing for that. And you know, I've met some great guys. Like I played, you know, around with John here the other day. I'm gonna play around with John and Slaughter and Benoit tomorrow. And like for me, man, no bullshit. Like the MGA has been huge, and I think that's why I just hold it in high regard, and I want people to respect it. You know?
Oh, absolutely. I talk to so many guys who share a kind of similar outlook on it, where it's like, you know, we all liked golf. The golf was a great kind of avenue. But really, it just became like, yeah, just, now I have a bunch of friends everywhere. And not even, you know, you're close with people who don't even live in the same town as you when you're in the MGA. And,
oh,
you know,
dude,
suddenly you have friends across the globe.
Dude, I drove through Crested Butte. I went and ride dirt bikes last earlier this month in Crested Butte. Driving across, I was driving through Salt Lake, and you know, hit up Carter and Kiki just in case they were around or something. And you know, it's awesome having that those outlets and meeting those kind of guys. You know, coming through the WCs, and yeah, no bullshit, man. The MGA has been awesome for me, and also like. I think like a lot of people find that once they join the MGA, once they play a few rounds and you meet a few people, like I think a lot of like people like myself too, like I was into motorcycles and all kinds of like other shit before I started playing golf. And like, I never really considered myself hurt nobody's feelings, but like a golfer, like in that respect, you see on TV, sure. Like all these stuff. Yeah. It's pink work shirt wearing motherfuckers. So when you like come out here and hang out with just good guys who want to have a good time, and you know, they're not really sweating going low and just trying to have fun and just enjoying playing golf. That's what I love. And that's what really, I think, another thing that really drew me to it and why I keep enjoy, like you say, you meet people that you enjoy playing golf with.
Yeah. Just keeps you and coming back.
Awesome.
Yeah. That's cool, man. Now I feel bad about talking shit about the 9HDB rule, but but no, it's interesting because I try and explain it to some people sometimes who aren't in it, like people I know in racing who golf, and try to explain just sort of the vibe of it, because it is right. It's kind of a sweet spot, you know. It's like you take absolutely golf seriously but not too seriously. You got to have the right sense of humor. And yeah, it's hard to describe. You either get it or you don't, right? But the people who get it are fast friends, and you know, you've just have, like Willie was saying, you have that instant connection with people in the other chapters who get it. Everyone just
right.
Kind of.
And that's exactly what it is. You find the people that get it in each kind of city, and then you get them all together in Las Vegas and like go apeshit. Well, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Here's the key to that. Is everyone can be a part of that, but you got to come to Vegas. So, you know, it's funny because there's a lot of guys in the MGA who have never just, you know, they play in their chapter. They know a few guys. They never come to Vegas. And you're getting kind of half the experience, you know. And I think we understand, you know, John and myself understand, it's not something that's going to fit in everyone's budget every year. It's it is a bigger trip for some people than others. But you can look at it like, you know, Luke McBride and the Irish guys that trip was kind of, you know, like a bit life-changing for those guys, you know, to actually come out here and meet everybody. And if you come and you do the experience, like the reward on the other end is massive. So anybody who's listening, like, come to the WCs.
Absolutely. And I appreciate, I mean, John, I mean, I know it can't really fit in everybody's budget, but he sure does a damn good job, I think, of making, you know, two rounds of stay or two nights stay or whatever you can do, like, affordable, man. Like,
yeah, that's another thing that we target.
It's a hell of a package, man. Like, no bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, so. It's – and, you know, for the people who do make it, like, you just got to get in there too. Like last year, Tallahassee for me was the chapter that just got in there and just like got it right away. Cause they basically, like, as soon as I walk downstairs, they just come up and start chatting me up and chatting everybody up. And they just got in and they had a great time. They were great guys. And like, basically if you're in Vegas, you get it, you know, and anybody out there, you can talk to anyone out there, and you just don't need to be shy in Vegas. That's all I'm saying.
That's for damn sure. Buy somebody a beer.
Have a better time if you just get on in it.
Absolutely.
So I mean, look, glowing endorsements here, I think, from everybody. Just come on out and hang with us, and we're all nice people. Try not to be a wallflower in Vegas, because and I do see some people too, like, stick with the chapter guys that they know. And that's great and everything. You can probably have a really good time. But, you know, the other good thing that I think we do is try to mix people in during the rounds. Because it really is during that, like, 5 hours, 6.5 hours you spend with some guys from some other chapters, you can actually then make those real connections. Because sometimes at a bar, it's loud. You got people yelling at in your ear and stuff. They're talking over each other. It can be kind of hard to make those connections. But when you're like out on the course, that's the other beauty of golf. Like when golf is actually so important to this whole thing, is golf is like the best way to hang with somebody and really kind of get to know them. It's like I was trying to explain to my girlfriend one time, like why golf is so good. And I'm like, well, yeah, we hang out for like 5 hours, but we don't have to talk the whole time, but we talk a lot. Like, I was like, this is what guys want to do. We don't want to just sit at a table and talk at each other for like 5 hours. We want to do something, and then like kind of brings us together. So yeah, seriously, if you haven't been, come. If you do come, make sure you take full advantage of the trip.
Absolutely.
John, we ready to make an announcement, my friend?
I think so. I think it's time.
All right. So what's the deal? What's going on here?
All right. So the bronze tickets. There were two bronze tickets, and the question at the beginning of the season is, how the hell do I randomly distribute these between our chapters? Because I wanted everyone to have even odds of getting one of these bronze tickets. But I didn't know how many chapters we were going to have, and some people order their packs early, some of them order them late. So what I ended up doing was I made 100 packets for the chapters and just randomly put in the bronze tickets in two of them and basically just put them all in a box. I marked the packets with a little post-it note so I would know when I pulled one. And only one got pulled.
Oh.
Out of, because we only had probably 65 chapters or so. So one of the bronze tickets is still sitting in my storage space.
Okay.
So sorry, everyone. Once that first one was pulled, there actually is not another one out there right now. However, I did promise two bronze tickets.
You did.
So we're going to do this a different way.
All right.
We're taking Joe Donyas away. No, just kidding. if he chooses to use it. But what I'm going to do is on October 17th, everybody who's won a tournament this year, their name's going to go into a hat. Hopefully it'll fit in a hat. It's a lot of people. Get a big hat. And I'm going to do a Facebook Live video where I will draw the name of the other bronze ticket winner. So all you losers out there who got losing tickets, you get another shot.
Get one more chance at it. All right.
One more chance.
So I actually
Man. That's awesome.
I won the first Austin chapter tournament. And as I was opening the envelope, I was thinking this would be ridiculous if if I won the second bronze ticket. So I'm glad it's going to go to a deserving person out there. And by the way, this is 4 days after registration's closed.
That's so. Right. Yeah. So once again, you know, trying to figure out a good and fair way to do this, even the 17th, not everyone's going to be done. Like there's still going to be a couple last gasps
sure.
to have to happen. But if I go any later than that,
yeah.
you're going to be booking flights.
Yeah.
2 weeks out, which is no good. So this is after most last gasps. You still have 3 weeks to book a flight. So
all right.
I think it's going to work.
I think that's fair. Sweet. You know, look, things happen. Bronze tickets sometimes don't make their way out. And we're making it right here.
Yeah. You know, it really doesn't change anything. Like the suspense is the same.
It's true.
Because you didn't know. Nobody knew.
Yeah, exactly. It could have just been pulled on the very final tournament or whatever, and it would have been the same thing.
Right. I'll come up with a new way next year to make sure they both get out. I'll figure something out.
Okay. All right.
I think everyone should be happy right now because they get another shot at it.
That's true.
So,
yeah.
For sure.
I mean, look, the excitement of opening the envelope is definitely real. We, you know, our chapter was brand new. I mean, this is a good segue. We'll move right into the Austin chapter I just started up. But as soon as the tournament was done and we're doing the awards, I pulled the envelope out and I'm like, all right, you hold the popper, you hold the phone, start recording. Let's see what happens. You know, it's an exciting moment. So I love what the bronze ticket has added to the MGA.
Did you see the video of, Donya winning it?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Very exciting. Lots of pomp and circumstance.
He had no clue what was going on. Christine was losing her mind. It was great.
Yeah.
And then and then Matt couldn't get the popper to work. It was, sure. It was classic.
Yeah, I think he was confused what the hell, like, why was he having to open this envelope? Yeah. All right, so yeah, let's talk, like, I got a new chapter. So I have an interesting perspective on the MGA chapter leader experience now. It's probably going to be a focal point of speech stuff this year for me, is my newfound respect for the chapter leaders and what they do.
How many guys you got?
So we're up to 7, but we have, if everybody who said that they were into it came, we'd have like 30 guys right now. But we got a lot of verbal confirmations followed up by a lot of non-action as far as website stuff is concerned. But that's okay. I figured it was going to be slow going at first.
The problem is they know that they can't win the global money title playing half a season. So they're just waiting. They're practicing right now.
Okay.
And you'll have 30 strong at the start of next year.
I think really what needed to happen was I just needed to get some tournaments like happening. So there were pictures and there was, you know, that page that people could see. And so we've done that. And, you know, we had 3 the first tournament, 7 the second. I've already got some interest from some other people for what we're doing. We're going to do 2 in October just so that we can get 4 in. And, you know, then we can have enough. And I actually have some interest from, because we're doing 2 in October, a couple of Dallas guys contacted me because I think they're just trying to get to their quota to try to make it to Vegas. So it's nice to be able to, like, be there for that, too. Texas now has 4 chapters officially, so we're ripe to do some Buckeye Cup style stuff like Ohio does.
Well, if you weren't 1,500 miles from the other Texas chapters.
Here's the beauty of that, though. We're in the middle, so they all come to us. That's how I'm going to pitch this. We're not going to El Paso. That's for damn sure.
So you've got a couple – you're saying some Dallas guys are going to try and get their – third tournament in.
So I've gotten contacted from a few of those guys, so that means, like, my chapter's getting guys to Vegas, so I'm happy with that. But I'll say this, the biggest thing about starting the chapter that I've noticed is that you just early on, and I'm hoping this kind of changes, but early on I just feel like I'm chasing people down, and now I understand what all these guys go through and all these other chapters to a bigger degree. And John, I know, I mean, you do it to the nth degree, doing, like, you know, chasing down every single chapter and the chapter leaders and everything. But it's just kind of amazing. Like, you feel like you're bothering people, but you also feel like you're not doing the right thing if you don't just keep hitting them up, right? So
yeah,
it's a tightrope act a little bit.
Right, exactly. And yeah, when you're first starting and you only have so many people, you kind of have to do that, I guess, to get the fields and get some pictures. But then, yeah, once it gets, like, we've had, I don't know how many members we have in SF this year, like 60, and our biggest tournament has been 32, 35 or something. So it's like, you know, we're only ever getting 60% of our membership, which at this point I'm just like, that's fine, whatever.
Because 60 people
at a decent.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a decent field, but yeah, early on you kind of got to chase people, I guess.
Well, I'm hoping that's exactly how it works here, but I'm excited about it. Austin has a pretty decent selection of cheap golf courses. And then some, like, pretty nice ones out there too. But the biggest thing that I've noticed is the MGA effect has now happened to a couple of guys. Nice. So Ty is a guy who didn't play. He played a little bit in, like, high school. He's a buddy of mine from playing pool. Once I got him out to the golf course and he played around, the guy's been hitting me up to play. Like, every single day. You know, he gets off work at like 3 o'clock. He's like, hey, if I set a tee time up for 4 o'clock, will you come? And, you know, every day he wants to go out. And he's shooting like 120s and stuff, but he's still having a blast out there because he'll have like that one shot, you know, where everything works. But I'll say this. There's signs of gay over here. I made a grip adjustment and we played 3 straight days of golf the other day. I shot 88, 85, 83. So yeah, stop. I got and I'm coming into Vegas with zero penalty strokes. Zero. Yeah, because my tournament score. We apparently our second tournament. I didn't know this. We played the hardest course in East Texas, is what I found out later. So the winner shot a 97. I got second with a 101. It was rough. It was a rough course. But once we get back to some regular courses, I may.
And you shot an 83 the other day?
Yeah, I shot an 83. Yeah, I had, dude, I had a round where I was one over on the front nine. Nothing happened to me.
Yeah, this is the longest con ever. Man.
Look, dude, I
moved to Austin.
Moved to Austin.
Playing.
Yeah.
Jeez. Move to Austin and sandbag and come back.
Well, the thing, like, I wish I could say I was sandbagging, but like, I might actually have penalty strokes by the time I get there because it just something just clicked. All I really did was I pulled my top hand a little closer. I just put my hands closer together. I was being a little lazy.
Have a couple beers and you'll forget what you learned.
Yeah, yeah.
You stopped hitting it like a slap shot.
Start all over.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because you remember, John, I used to have baseball grip. And then I was doing like overlap. And now I interlock and I pull them real tight. And it's just like it's made the club longer or something. So everything's going the distance it's supposed to now. Like I'm hitting a 7-iron 160 and that's what everyone else does. And
do you find that now you just constantly want to play golf?
Yes.
More than ever before.
This
is the problem. When I started playing well, and you're self-employed as well, you just sit there and all you want to do is just leave and go play golf.
Well, yeah. And the dangerous thing is the app that I use, the golf shot app for my score tracking and stuff. You can book tee times on it.
Oh man!
And there's always like a $20 tee time with a golf cart happening the next day, and I'm just like, yeah, I can make that. So this is dangerous territory for me. But you know, I'm excited to. I just want to come out and actually be, you know, because I think a lot of people think of me as not a threat, right? So I at least want to come out and be like, yeah, Willie could actually maybe do something here, you know? I had my glory year in 2010, but it's been all.
Yeah, you did shock the world in 2010.
Yeah.
So you're the sleeper this year, huh?
We'll see. Well, maybe once this podcast comes out, maybe not. But everyone will have to see how I actually do in like the practice round, I think. And then we'll really know. But yeah, it's made golf a lot of fun for me. And you know, I think though too, becoming a chapter leader made me get way into golf because suddenly I'm talking about golf all the time.
Hey, real quick, if you play the practice round, which one do you play, or do you split it up?
It's
well, because the course is 27 holes, right?
No.
Oh, it's 36. That's right now, right? Yeah.
I forget which one's which day because it's Concord one day, Lexington the other day.
Okay, that's what I was asking.
It's not a mix.
Got it.
So yeah, you're not guaranteed to like hit every hole by doing the practice stuff, but you'll
if you do both. Right. Both
you
just
don't. Yeah. You do both days.
Both days, and there you go. Yeah,
but
that's the key. I will be at both days, so I'll get
a
look.
4 days of golf in a row.
4 days of golf in a row is rough, but if
that's
you,
a lot, man, I've done it. But
me and John did four rounds of golf in basically 2 days. What was that? Three years ago? 2 years ago? That was rough.
That angel fart.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
That was rough. All right, let's talk about the DBI. You guys had 35 players. I think I use the SFMGA DBI as the you guys are the baseline for what should be happening in the rest of the MGA as far as like outfits.
I was pretty amazed this year because, you know, I've done so many of them now.
It's getting hard to come with new douchebags, right?
Yeah. I actually think I came up with a decent concept, but I didn't execute.
Mm.
I essentially wanted to take the sign, the ubiquitous sign at each golf course that says, you know, no jeans, no denim, no cutoffs, no tank tops, and wear all of them.
Okay.
So I wore head to toe denim, but it wasn't like over the top enough denim. Like it needed to be lighter, like clear in your face denim. And then I had a tank top on underneath, but I didn't do cutoffs. So anyway, I ranked pretty low this year.
Mm. disappointing hey, result.
Slaughter came in through with a romper though.
Now yeah.
The man romper. Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. So that
the baby blue man romper.
Baby blue romper makes the list.
That's topical right there too, because that was a fashion trend in 2017. So
and that's the other thing, you know, like I feel like it used to be easier. Like
sure.
there were clear douchebags that were easy to emulate or make fun of, but it's the lines are starting to blur a little bit. But the romper, that was clear.
Last year I won the douchebag last year as a channeling my inner Diego Escobel.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Wait, didn't we have like three of them out there or something? Like, didn't like a bunch of guys dress up as Diego? That's awesome.
So Diego,
because he came out to play with us that tournament.
Yep.
That's good, man.
So that's always a popular choice. You could always pick another Medio from another chapter and dress up as him. The sock game was very strong at this year's DBI, which it wasn't super douchey, but they were creative socks. Alex Fontana had my favorite socks, Fresh Prince of Bel Air. But really the top prize, both in outfit and in golf, went to Chris Johnson. OG
Johnson.
Yeah. That was awesome.
Hasn't won since 2010. Came in, won by 3 strokes over Matt Tellez from South OC, who was trying to steal our fucking trophy. So he defended SF, and he did it dressed as a Comcast guy with white tube socks, pleated khaki shorts, and the official Comcast shirt and utility belt. And
wow.
He just brings it. Johnson brings it.
It was awesome.
He just
came back from breaking his wrist, and that guy was going through it, man. He came back and won. It's awesome.
He definitely deserves a story that I have not written yet, but I will, Chris.
Don't worry. Well, here's the thing, John. You have between 8 and 16 days to write that story officially by Comcast rules. Yeah. So I saw the interview with him where he was like. He's like, yeah, you sure you have time to play? He's like, yeah, I got like 5 or 6 appointments, but I don't have to be there until.
Yeah.
He's like, I should be fine.
No, Johnson, when Johnson goes douche, he commits.
Yeah.
Like he showed up.
It was good.
He showed up a couple years ago dressed like surfer douche, and he was wearing flip-flops and had a boogie board strapped to his ankle. And he played the entire round in flip-flops with a boogie board strapped to his ankle.
Jesus, that's dedication. So, maybe that's why he hasn't been winning, but it sounds like maybe a key to the DBI is to come with it outfit-wise. Because Scott won last year with a great outfit, and here you got Johnson this year with a good one. So I'm hoping that the guys in Austin get it. But I, like I said, I always use you guys. It's like
probably the hardest one. That's the hardest tournament too, to kind of like tell people or teach people if they get it or not.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. When the guy shows up with just like a black golf shirt on and like normal pants, you're like, okay, you may not last.
when we were playing ours at the Chuck in Alameda, where we play it every time, I was in the clubhouse and they were trying to explain to one of the young guys behind the counter what a douchebag was, because he was from the Czech Republic.
Oh, okay.
And trying to explain what it was. And he was pointing at different people out at the course. He's like, is that a douchebag? And they're like, yeah, kind of. He's not with us, but yeah.
All right, let's wrap this up by talking a little bit about the chapter leaders group that we have on Facebook. And we'll skip some of this other stuff, but I do kind of want to bring this up because there's an interesting, basically like what this is all the chapter leaders have a place where they can bring issues, questions, suggestions, things like that. So, and other chapter leaders can respond and let them know what they think.
Right.
But we had a recent post about what do you do when a guy's won 3 events in a row and he keeps playing from the set of tees back and then just keeps winning. What's the answer to this question? And I'm curious to know what you guys think.
Well, how does he? He's got to be collecting strokes to start with, unless he's winning with what?
Unless 90s. The chapter is terrible, right? So unless,
right?
Yeah, there's one way to do it without it is if you're shooting like 90s from there, and everyone else is shooting like, you know, 101s or whatever.
Right.
But I don't think that's the case. It sounds like he shot an 85, and if they're entering the scores properly, they should be on harder tee boxes, right? So it should affect your handicap more. But you're right. You're right, Scott. I think, you know, I personally think you do nothing and you pat the guy on the back and you say, hey, congratulations. Like, it's time for us all to step it up, right?
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, that's the real answer.
Billy, that's the real answer. The real answer. Yeah.
I mean, he's playing by the rules. He's back as far as he can go. Eventually, the penalty strokes will either catch up with him or other golfers will practice and
somebody will have a good day.
It just sounds like he's
mediocre golfer.
Just sounds like he's kind of hated.
Yeah. You know? Well, this is perfect. I mean, you set up a heel in your chapter. You know, every chapter needs their Todd Benoit, right? Who's like, you gotta have that guy who wins so much that everyone's like, I hate you, but I love you, but I hate you. So here you go. Here he is. They got their guy.
So the chapter leader put this question out there in the private group for chapter leaders, and a couple ideas came through from other chapter leaders. One of them was make him play with little kids' balls.
Okay.
Wait, no.
Wait, that sounds really terrible. I don't think you should make him play with little kids' balls.
Make him play lefty.
Little kids' clubs. Make him play lefty was in there.
Little kids' clubs. Okay, good.
Make him take a shot with every putt.
Jesus. Well, that's like 30 shots.
We can send him that women's set that I got.
There you go.
Learn how to play golf. We can send those out to him.
There you go.
You can have him take. You can have him like shotgun a beer every hole or something like that too. If you really wanted to,
right?
Throw some shit out there, but
the overwhelming the answer that got the most support, the most likes, the most reactions from the chapter leaders was. Kick him in the ball. So
you know what you could, you know what you could do. You could say if you win more than three tournaments, you have to play from the blacks.
Yeah, I actually had a lot of questions
about
that.
You play from the blues,
that.
You win more than three or four, you have to play from the blacks.
Like, yeah, no, I had a lot of questions about that from guys in my chapter because they were asking. So if you win again, do you keep moving back and back and back until you're all the way at the tips?
Yeah.
It's definitely like you know, something we could talk about, but
that's how it's supposed to work.
Oh, is it? Oh, well, there you go.
Wrong in the rule book, but yeah, if you win again, you go back another set of tees.
So he's but didn't they say that they only have blues?
Yeah, they're out of tees.
Oh yeah.
So you know, he could play from the back of the tee box, but all these are great suggestions. But if you put them in the chapter leader Facebook group, someone's going to reply and then kick them in the balls and then they'll get like 5 likes. So.
Yeah. Pat Carter's going to talk about pumpkin spice lattes or something. And it'll devolve pretty quickly, but it's great. It's a good tool for chapter leaders.
Right. So I just wanted to give people a glimpse behind the curtain,
sure.
A little taste of what's going on in the chapter leader world. And the heavy issues that we discuss.
Yeah, don't worry, guys. You're in good hands with your chapter leaders and John Moore.
Balls on the other hand. Watch out.
Well, dude, that's going to do it for this media cast. I'm glad we were able to get one going. And again, everybody.
Yeah, this was fun.
MGAWC.com is the place to go to register for the MGAWCs. And remember, closing that down on the 13th. So get in there now. Do it today. You're listening to this. Do it right now.
Get those flights booked.
Yeah, get your flights booked. Exactly. Scott, we're going to see you out there this year?
Absolutely.
Awesome, dude. Thank you again for joining us, man. I really enjoyed hearing about your weird way of finding us and and the wonderful things that have happened since then. And
cheers to the invite, man.
And John, Scott. Obviously, good talking MGA with you.
Man.
See if we can make this happen again sometime soon.
That's right. Scott, I'll see you in 11 hours, and we'll go play Northwoods, designed by Alistair McKenzie.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
I don't think I've even played that course.
Little 9-hole. I've been talking about going there for 10 years.
Hell yeah, man.
It looks like a little torture course is what it looks like.
Okay. Yeah. Well, hell, have fun out there, guys. And that's going to do it for episode 36 of the MJ Media Cast. We'll see you for the next one. Peace out.
Right on. Cheers, guys. Later, man.